since today is the start of a new year, we want to turn our attention to John chapter 13, verse 34. If you've already looked at this passage, you know that this is the place where Jesus said he had a new commandment for his people. The Lord said this new commandment was love. Jesus said as he had loved his apostles, those special helpers and friends, so he wants us to love one another. This morning, as we think about beginning a new year and ending an old one, we want to give consideration to how well we carried out the command to love in 2011. How well last year did we seek to love those who are associates? As we look at the preceding year, how well did we do when it came to loving our friends and our children? How much love did we direct to our parents last year? Was God pleased with the level, with the amount of love that we showed towards him? If we did well at loving the people we like, what about the people we dislike? Did we really try to love them during the last 12 months? If we have some enemies, did we seek to love them for the preceding year? The word that is often translated love in the New Testament is some form of agape. When we look at agape love, we find that it is a love that is primarily based on the mind instead of emotion. Agape love is the kind of mindset, it's the kind of love which usually requires people to put forth a great deal of effort to practice it. Agape love is the kind of love that causes someone to want the very best for their enemies. In Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus described this agape love in this way. He said, "But I say unto you, love," that's agape, "love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you." As we think back to 2011, can we think of anyone during that time who was an enemy? If we are in school, was there someone who may have bullied us, either in person or maybe was a cyber bully? Was there during 2011 someone in our family that we found difficult to love? When we think back at the preceding year, was there someone maybe in the workplace that was a thorn in our side? If we can think back to the preceding year and find an enemy during 2011, how did we treat them? Someone might say, "Well, I tolerated that person and I think I did pretty well." Well, toleration is a beginning point, but that's not really agape love. God requires more. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "Love, agape your enemies, and even pray for them." Agape love means that we seek to have unconquerable goodwill towards others. It is the kind of love that says we want the very best for people, no matter who they are. Of all the things that the Bible tells us to do, practicing agape love may be one of the most difficult. There is perhaps now no better time than to look at our lives and to see whether or not we have really, over the last 12 months, sought to practice agape love. If we can look at some times and people and think, "Well, those were some situations where I failed to show agape love," we now have a new year to do better. It is, as we go through life, really easy to show agape love to the people that we appreciate or like. But agape love means that we struggle to show love towards the people that we generally would not love. Leaving Matthew 5, we want to turn a few chapters over to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 19. It is here that Jesus says, "Honor your father and mother." This is also a passage where we have some information about neighbors. The verse that we want is Matthew 19, 19, just this one passage. And here Jesus said, "Honor thy father and mother." Let's try that again. "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." We are to love, have unconquerable goodwill towards our neighbors. Last year, we studied how the word neighbor includes a wide range of people. Neighbor would describe the person who's living next to us a couple of houses down. But the Bible also uses this term in a broader sense. It uses this word to describe really all the people that we meet in life. This past year, we have all seen or heard about some people who did not really love their neighbors. Imagine going to one of the pre-sale days prior to Christmas and being sprayed with pepper spray. I don't think anybody would say that was loving your neighbor as yourself. There was at least one person who did that, and that individual lacked agape love. Failing to show agape love has also occurred in less dramatic situations. Imagine going to a store on a day like Black Friday, and we get to the part of the store which has this item that we've been looking forward to purchasing. And as we come up to the pallet where the items were, we find that there is only one left. As we reach for that last item, there's another person on the other side of the pallet, and that individual that's on the opposite side also wants this same item and reaches for it at the very same time. Well, some non-religious people might get into a tussle and into a war of words. "Well, hey, I saw this first. I touched it first. This is mine. I must have this gift." Maybe even some religious people would act in that way. But if we were in that situation, that we see the item that we want, it's the last one, we reach for it, someone else's reaches for it at the very same time, we both have our hand on it perhaps, what would the Bible tell us to do in that set of circumstances? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 19, verse 19. If we treat people as we want to be treated, then we would let that discounted item go to that other individual. How shameful for a Christian to fight over something like a discounted piece of merchandise. Were there times in 2011 when we failed to show agape love towards a neighbor? Were there times where we put our interests and our desires above others? Well, if we did, this year is another opportunity for us to improve. Staying with the book of Matthew, but skipping over a couple more chapters, looking at the information now in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37, is another place where we find the word agape. And he said unto him, thou shalt love, there's agape, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. The Lord said that we are to love God. As we look at the preceding year, how well did we do when it comes to loving God? Did we seek to show on a regular basis our love and our appreciation to God by prayer? Someone might say, well, yes, I did that. Well, that's good, but how often did we seek to show our love and appreciation to God for what he's done for us in the world? Did we express that appreciation a few times during the year, a few times during the month, or a few times during the week, or was it a daily thing? If we sought to show our appreciation to God, our love for God, via prayer, did we do that more than once, multiple times in a day? Thinking back to 2011, what did we offer God when it comes to our time and resources? In the Old Testament, Malachi 3, verse 8, we find that a person can actually rob God. And God says, I do not like to be robbed. If we look back to the preceding year, would we say that we, at some point in time, were guilty of robbing God? Were we guilty of professing to love God, but not showing it? Have we robbed God of the worship that he was entitled to receive? Have we robbed him by taking resources, directing resources away from him and to some other source? We can profess a great love for God, but that profession, that confession is not backed up by our actions. A little later, Matthew 24, verse 12, says that love, once again, the word agape is used, our love for God can wax or grow cold. We, as we look at life, find cases where a person becomes a Christian. And after that individual becomes a child of God, they have a strong, they have a magnificent love for God. But as the days and the weeks and the months and even the years begin to pass, that love for God can wane, it can decrease. In many ways, our love for God can be compared to a fire. We, when we become a Christian, might be like a great fire that someone builds outdoors. They can see it for well over a mile. The fire as it burns, it's a thing of splendor and power. But we know if we've ever built a fire that that fire does not continue without fuel. Wood, logs have to be continually added to the fire, otherwise those flames are going to decrease. Eventually, if those logs are not added, our fire turns into a heap of coals and there's nothing but ashes. If we think about our Christian life in terms of a fire, what is it like? Are we like that fire which has been built up with logs and it's burning brightly? That was what we sought to do in 2011. Are we someone who has really, during the past year, sought to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind? But are we in that position, or are we in another position where we say, well, we had some logs burning for a while, but as the year 2011 continued on, those logs were not replaced. The flame got smaller and smaller. It continued to decline. And it's not going to be long before we are a heap of cold ashes. If our love for God has started to wane, it's time to go back and add some logs and fan the flames, to do what Jesus said, love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Our love for God means that we are actively involved in a service. It also means if we have this truly agape love for God, we pay close attention to what the scripture says. Skipping the books of Mark and Luke, we come to the book of John. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if ye love, and that's our word agape. Jesus said, if you truly love me, you will keep my commandments. Most of us know that we live in a time where a lot of people talk about loving God. On the day that I was preparing this material, I was absolutely dumbfounded by a statement that I came across from a well-known religious group. This group, which boldly and openly professes a great love for God, said in a very public way, and this is a quote, strict adherence to a list of do's and don'ts is not what Christian salvation is about. Now, that could be, I guess, interpreted in a couple of different ways, but as I read those words, I thought, what a shocking belief and statement from someone, and to do that publicly, from this well-known religious group. The word commandments in John 14, 15 does not sound very much like the word suggestion. Jesus said God has commandments. That's a fact. Jesus also said, if we truly love God, we will keep those commandments. Now, God is not like some type of harsh dictator which says, I have some rules and I'm going to rule with an iron fist. No, the Bible says concerning these commandments that it is a perfect law which results in liberty, James 1, verse 25. And those who truly love God will seek to keep those commandments, will seek to strictly adhere to what God has said. We, though, live in a time where people not only talk about loving God, they boast about loving God. And with that boast, they then turn right around and reject what God has said. But when people live in that way, in that manner, they really are living for self instead of God. If we seek to love God, we'll know what he says, and then we'll seek to do it. Love and obedience go hand in hand. If you turn to John 14, I want to look down just a few verses later to what we find in verses 21 and also verse 23 of this same chapter. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is, Jesus said, that loves me. You know the word, you keep the word. And Jesus says that's true love. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Skipping verse 22, but looking at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, and that's agape, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. When we think about agape love, we think about knowing and keeping God's word. We also think about when it comes to agape love, we give consideration to sacrifice. After speaking about agape love several times in John 14, we move to the next chapter, John 15, verse 13, where Jesus said these words, greater love, that's agape, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When we think back to 2011, can we recall some times where we were really willing to sacrifice something for someone? Were there times during 2011, because we're a Christian who seeks to practice agape love, that we gave up some things, we did some things that really cost us something? When we look at our society, at least what I seem to see or hear from people is that, well, we might help people. But if we aid people, we do not want to really inconvenience ourselves. We certainly do not want to help to the point of sacrifice. One of the things that would come to my mind as far as an illustration would be a motorist. If we see someone who is broken down, the world might say, well, it would be a nice thing to do to call the auto service for that person that's had the breakdown, the flat tire. If the person has a flat, it might really be good to offer that individual a ride. But the world would say, hey, stopping and changing that tire, if that's going to get you dirty, if that's going to inconvenience, if that's going to require some sacrifice, then hey, you leave that alone and let somebody else come and do that. You don't want to dirty your clothes. If not that example, here's another one. Imagine a person saying, well, I know that you need food. I know that you need some help there, but I've got my dinner party scheduled for tomorrow night. And I have all my cooking time bound up for this dinner party. And I'm sorry, another time I'll be glad to help you with food, but not tonight. Or another individual. I know that you need a ride to the doctor appointment, and I hope that works out, but I have my hair appointment, and you know I've got to keep that. I know that you need some money for medicine, but we've got this big vacation plan later in the year, and we just can't spare anything right now. Time and time again, we can be tempted to take our desires, our interests, our needs, and put them above others. But think about John 15, verse 13. Jesus said, if we have agape love, we're willing to give our life for another person. Now, when we think about John 15, 13, and the examples that I just gave, those two things do not match up. Agape love means that we are willing to die for the sake of another person. When we think about the Lord's illustration in 2011, how well did we do when it came to showing agape love during the past 12 months? Was there someone who wanted 30 minutes of our time and we said, nope, I'm all filled up today. Can't help you with that. Was there another day where someone said, I need a Saturday. I need some help. I need a vehicle. I need a trailer. The list just goes on and on. We said, well, you know, sorry, just can't help. Can't do that. When we sign on to be a Christian, we sign on to practice agape love. We, when we become a child of God, agree to give. and give a lot, and agree to even be inconvenienced. Agape love means that we pledge to do our best, to love the unlovable, and give to the fullest and greatest extent of our ability. When the kinds of circumstances I have described arrive, it's easy to justify not helping someone. Well, I helped in the past. There are some other people who can help a lot better than I can. Other people are better positioned to fulfill this need. We've already helped them 3 times. How many more times are they going to ask? I don't think that that person is worthy of my time, my effort, or something else. Those are natural thoughts. That's typically the way that people think, at least in the early years, I think, of life. But if that kind of thinking pops into our head, it might be good to remember verses like Romans chapter 5, verse 8. In the 5th chapter of Romans, Paul said, as God looked at the world, that God saw a bunch of sinners. He saw a world of people who did not deserve any good thing from him. He had mercy on us, though. People who were worthy of destruction, the Bible says God commended his love towards us. And then it says God commended his own love toward us while we were yet sinners. We were unlovable. We were undesirable. We were about as foul and as repugnant as anybody or anything could be, and yet the Bible says when we were in that state, God loved us. And he not only loved us, he loved us to the point where he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus came to die for the ungodly. He laid down his life not only for his friends, but for his enemies. When we deserve the severest and greatest form of judgment and punishment, God reached down to man and said, here's agape love, summed up in my son. I'm going to give you the greatest and the fullest expression of that love that I know to give. And God, as we look at the Bible, now says to us, if you have become one of my people, this is your obligation as you go out and enter into the world. If we go back and look at 2011, all of us can find some times where we fail to show agape love. As we think about a new year, you may or may not like New Year's resolutions, but at least as we think about a new year, this is one of the things that we can look at and seek to do better with as far as agape love is concerned. Maybe as we go into a new year, we can make a list of the people who bother us. Take note of the people that we like the least and determine that we are going to show to them agape love. We can pray for adversaries and seek to be kind to them as God has been kind to us, Romans 5. We can also look at our neighbors and see how we have treated them during the past year. Is there a neighbor, someone that's in, you know, our direct neighborhood, maybe a house or two down, or maybe a little further out, someone that we know, an associate, that has been difficult to love? Can we be a better neighbor with the public at large as we interact with the people on our various walks of life? Can we show more agape love in our school, in our home, and in our workplace? True love is to come from those who are Christians. And that's why Jesus was able to say, as we started this morning, John 13, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. Well, that is a great, great thing. It's certainly contrary to the way of the world, but it is the way of Christ. We hope that you are someone who's become a Christian, and as you go through your Christian walk from day to day, this is one of the qualities that you try to display on an ongoing basis. It's an important quality, it's a needed quality, and it is a divine quality. If you're someone who says, boy, that's going to be a difficult thing for me to do, but I'm not even a Christian, well, that's a beginning point. The Bible says that we start with faith in Christ. We believe. And then we repent. Well, part of that repentance is turning away from the hatred, from the strife that we see in the world, and saying there are some positive changes, such as agape love. Once we confess that Christ is the Lord of our life, we're baptized into Christ, every single sin is forgiven, Acts 22, verse 16. And then we can begin to develop the fruit of the Spirit that the Bible talks about. One of those fruits is agape love. This morning, if we can help you begin that new walk, that new life in Christ, not a better day than January 1st, 2012. We'd like to help you begin that new way and new walk today. If you have become a Christian and you failed in agape love, that's something that you can very likely write between you and God. But if you'd like some encouragement from the people who are here, we stand ready to do that this morning and like to help you in that way or any other as we stand and sing the selected song.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart ripe with God?